Blog Talk Radio.
Everyone, we pray that everybody has gotten the prescribed rest for today and that you have eaten well from the word of Yah on this morning. I had not particularly slept real well last night because I really wanted to know, you know, what the Most High wanted me to teach on, present this morning. And, you know, this is what he put on my spirit last night, but I didn't schedule it until this morning, early this morning. And it is what, you know, the Most High wanted to be taught and the message to go out this morning. So after, you know, the message this morning, I went and got back in bed and slept until like 4 o'clock, slept like a baby. you know, Most High, it was like he was saying, okay, yeah, you can go and rest now. On this evening, we're going to continue in this, how did Messiah fulfill the feast days? And we, you know, are looking at each of the feast days, and we were in the Feast of Weeks, the Pentecost, is where we left off at this morning. I pray that somebody was blessed from the message on this morning. I pray that somebody was convicted. If we are not walking right before the Most High, if we are not serving him the way that he wants us to serve him, that we were convicted to, you know, change our lives and to come to him with our whole hearts. I really do. On this evening, we're going to pick it up in Pentecost again, the beginning of the church, the beginning of the, you know, the body of Messiah, his assembling his church. And there's some verses that, you know, again, that are taught, and on face value, you know, people will get that, you know, everybody's going in the first resurrection. But the truth of the matter is we're given overview verses. And then, like in Revelation chapter 20, we're given specific details about, you know, who gets to go first and who's part of the first resurrection. So we might read it from the scriptures that when he appears in the sky, all those who are dead in him, who have gone on before us, if we're alive, are going to rise up. But that is not, they don't qualify if they didn't die for him. Okay. If that's not their life, then they don't qualify. They qualify for the second resurrection. And so there are just some scriptures that are being taken out of context. And so, you know, as part of this teaching of the feast days and how Messiah fulfills them, we also want to do a little bit of due diligence as far as the correcting of, you know, those understandings, because the church is teaching, you know, they're taking, they're cherry-picking verses, and they are teaching them out of context. You know, here a little, there a little, but line upon line and precept upon precept. And so they have the average everyday person who is attending, you know, who is attending church, they have them believing that everybody's getting up then. And it's just, it's not true. It is, you know, we have some general statements that are made. And then when the scriptures give further details, we have to include those details in our understanding so that we can come to truth and understanding in the scriptures so that we don't, you know, do things in a false way so that we have the correct expectation. And so, you know, I want everybody to think about this. For what the Most High is offering us, for what he is offering us, do we think that we should be able to get in and to have rulership and having given up nothing, having really bought in, have no skin in the game? He says, you want some skin in this? You want a throne? Your buy-in is your life, literally. It's your life. And not just that you live for me, but that you die for me. That's your buy-in. That's your skin in the game. You want a throne. You want eternal life? Believe that I'm Messiah and obey my commandments. Love your brother and your sister. Then you'll receive eternal life. Don't go back into sin. But if you want this throne, then you really have to have bought in, have some skin in the game. You know, you suffered with me. So think about those things and understand that there's qualifications for, you know, these different levels. So I pray that we get this and that, you know, we set the correct expectation for our lives, that we are worshiping him in truth and in spirit, and understand that, yeah, we're going to get eternal life, and we'll even get to enter into the kingdom if our name is found in the Lamb's Book of Life. So we can't do anything to get it erased out, to get it blotted out. I believe there's a scripture that I think is written by, might be written by David or Solomon, blot not my name out from your holy book, but I'll have to find that. Seems like that's in my mind somewhere. Anyway, we're going to do our statement of faith, and we're going to go back into the Pentecost, the beginning of the church, and we're going to continue in this and try to finish these up on this evening. So we want to welcome everybody out to Yah Global Kingdom Ministry. I am Brother Miles. And we want to welcome everybody in Pal Talk, in Blog Talk, on the internet in general, wherever you may be. We greet you in the matchless name of Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Christ, the only name whereby men must be saved. There is no other name. Can't be saved in any other name. But the name of the Messiah. And I'm not saying that you can't use Jesus Christ for your salvation or Yeshua HaMashiach. One is the Hebrew and one is the Greek. So I don't want anybody to get that impression ever. All right, our statement of faith. Let me have the ladies to cover their heads. Men, uncover your heads. Holy hands raised to the Most High. I believe that all scripture is given by the inspiration of Elohim and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness according to 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. I believe that all holy men must be inspired and directed by the Spirit of Yah according to 2 Peter chapter 1 verses 20 through 21. I believe there is one Elohim according to Deuteronomy chapter 6. And verse 4. I believe that Yeshua is the manifest Son of Yah according to Luke chapter 1, verse 35. I believe I am a new covenant child of Yah according to Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 10. I believe I am of the royal priesthood according to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. I believe I am chosen and directed by Yah according to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4. I believe I am a child of Yah and of the seed of Abraham according to Galatians chapter 3, verses 26 through 29. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me, according to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. It is my whole duty to fear Yah and keep his commandments, according to Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13. Let us give Yah Elohim our hand clap of praise on this evening. Hallelujah. Give him the praise of your lips. The praise of your hands. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Yah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to you. 10,000 praises to you, O Yah. 10,000 praises to you, Father. We just magnify you on this evening. We extol you. We lift you up. We magnify your name. We come and we worship you, O Father. We restore and we bestow our adoration upon you, Father, and on you only. And we thank you. We thank you, Father, for all that you do for us. We thank you. We glorify you and we lift you up. Hallelujah. Hallelujah and hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. We glorify you on this evening. We thank you for your Shabbat, the day of rest that you have ordained. Holy hands raised to the Most High. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory now and forever. Amen and amen. Our scripture reading for this evening, Exodus chapter 20, verses 1 through 6, Proverbs chapter 8, verse 17, and John chapter 14, verse 15. So the book of Exodus, chapter 20, verses 1 through 6. And Elohim spake all these words, saying, I am Yah thy Elohim, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. And thou shalt have no other Elohims before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven images, any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I am Yah thy Elohim, for I, Yah thy Elohim, am a jealous Elohim, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generations of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Proverbs chapter 8. The book of Proverbs chapter 8 and verse 17. Proverbs chapter 8 and verse 17. I love them that love me, and those that seek me, early shall they find me. The book of John, chapter 14. The book of John, chapter 14, verse 15. John chapter 14 and verse 15. If you love me, keep my commandments. May the Most High add a blessing to the reading, the hearing, the understanding, and the doing of his word. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name. Amen and amen. Always want to keep these verses before us. Don't want to be worshiping the Most High in the spirit of falseness. But understand that he wants a people that only worships him, that doesn't celebrate false deities, doesn't celebrate and bow down to false deities, that will seek him out, that will seek out the truth, that will look into everything that they're doing. Don't take anything for granted. If you are celebrating something, then you need to look into it to see what is the root behind what you're celebrating. And if it has anything to do with the worship of another deity, you know you can't do that. Okay, you just have to know that. Let us return to Leviticus chapter 23 on this evening. Leviticus chapter 23. And we want to get verse 16, starting in verse 16. It's where we left off at this morning. We're talking about Pentecost. And that Pentecost was seven Sabbaths after the heave offering, after the Feast of the First Fruits. Count seven Sabbath after that, plus one day. Even unto the morrow after the seventh Sabbath shall you number 50 days, and you shall offer a new meat offering unto Yah. You shall bring out of your habitation two wave loaves of two-tenths deal. They shall be of fine flour. They shall be baked with leaven. They are the first fruits unto Yah. So he gave us this to celebrate, and he told Israel what to do. To celebrate it. Now again, if there are any sacrifices that go with these, we know that Messiah fulfills those sacrifices. So in verse 18, and you shall offer with the bread seven lambs without blemish of the first year. Messiah fulfills that. Messiah fulfills the one young bullock and the two rams. They shall be for a burnt offering unto Yah, with their meat offering and their drink offerings, even the offering made by fire, a sweet savor, a sweet smell unto Yah. These particular sacrifices, animal sacrifices, were a sweet smell unto him. But we can still offer the meat offering, which was actually a meat. It was with the bread and the wine, the drink offering, the sin offering Messiah fulfills. But this is the beginning. This is the feast day that the Most High wanted us to celebrate because this was the first fruits out of the land. And it was symbolic for the first fruits that he's going to take out of the earth of man. Okay, so the Most High is looking for a harvest of souls, if we can understand this. He equates it to the harvest that we get out of the land, for what we grow. But he's looking for a spiritual harvest of mankind. Okay, and this festival, this feast represents it, Pentecost. It occurs 50 days after the beginning of the Feast of Unleavened Bread and points to a great harvest of souls and the gift of the Holy Spirit for both Jew and Gentile. Now, the gift of the Holy Spirit, the Most High says, in Joel, I will pour a new covenant what I make with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers. But this shall be the covenant. I shall write my laws in their inward parts and in their hearts. And I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. That started with Israel on the day of Pentecost. So let's go to Acts chapter 2. The book of Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. And when the day of Pentecost stands for 50. This is the 50th day after Passover, the heave offering. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house that were sitting. Now Messiah has told all the apostles and the disciples, which is about 120 people, go into Jerusalem and wait there, and you shall receive power. You'll read that in chapter 1. And you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost or the Ruach HaKodesh has come upon you. You shall receive power. This is what Pentecost is about. This is what you petition the Most High to enter into his kingdom. You repent of your sins. You turn away from them. You are baptized in Messiah. And then if you don't receive the Holy Ghost right then, the Ruach HaKodesh, you are to tarry and you are to wait and you are to be petitioning him to send him to send you his spirit. This is what they had to do. They had to wait. Let's go and get that. Acts chapter 1, real quick. A couple of verses. Let's get verses 4 and 5. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which, saith he, you have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence from here. When they therefore were come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore the kingdom? Okay, to Israel. They wanted to know, hey, when we receive this power, are you going to restore the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has put in his own power, but you shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost, the Ruach HaKodesh, has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria, unto the uttermost parts of the earth. So this is what's happening on Pentecost. They are receiving the Holy Ghost, the Ruach HaKodesh, our power, which is the Spirit of the Most High. I shall pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. Back to chapter 2, where we left off. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven, verse 2, as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire. Cloven tongues is different tongues. Like as a fire, and it sat upon them. Different languages in this world. Now, why did he use cloven tongues in these different languages? Let's continue to read. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. Filled with the Holy Ghost. I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. So before, the qualifications for flesh to be filled with the Most High was only two types of people. It was his prophets and his kings. That's the only ones the Most High filled with his spirit. The prophets and his kings. Anyone that he had as a prophet, you could be a priest. You could be not be a priest. And then his kings. And when the kings wouldn't do what he said to do, he would withdraw his spirit. If they did evil, he would withdraw the Ruach from them. Okay, that's what happened to Saul. That's what happened to every evil king. Part of their kingship was to be anointed with the Spirit of the Most High. And when they would do evil, he would withdraw from them. I'm not with you. So I'm not, my blessings are not going to come upon you or the people that you're ruling over, because you yourself are wicked. Okay, so it starts with the king and it flows down. All right. Verse 4, and they were all filled with the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues, in other languages, as the Spirit gave them utterance, not as they wanted to. This is the Spirit of the Most High speaking through you. You don't just start speaking because you want to speak. When the Most High is dealing with you in your prayer closet or dealing with you even in public, and he begins to speak through you, it's as he gives utterance. If you tell somebody to speak in tongues and they just start speaking in tongues, then you know that it is false. Nobody can teach you to do this. And they have churches out there that say, hey, we'll teach you to speak in tongues. It is a falsehood. It's as the Spirit of the Most High gives you utterance. And you have to be open to it. A lot of people fight it. I was one of those people. Wanted it and still fought it. I'm going to have to give up doing this. I'm going to have to give up doing that. I'm going to have, you know, it was all about me. And the Most High says, okay, I chose you and I called you. But I won't forever call you. And when I heard that, I will not forever call you. I heard that voice. It was audible to me. I will not forever call you. I knew the voice. And I obeyed. My whole life changed. Verse 5. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men. From where? Out of every nation under heaven. Israel wasn't just confined to its own borders. The Most High had already started spreading Israel out throughout the known world. And in every nation that they went in through to, they were supposed to be teaching the people the statutes, laws, commandments, and the ordinances of the Most High. But most of the time, they went into those lands and became like the people of the land. We want to be like them. But then you had some that were devout, that kept it. Okay? For the most part, we didn't. But there were some that did, and this is who the Most High called to be a witness on Pentecost, to come back to the Feast of Pentecost in that day, devout men out of every nation under heaven. You need to be a witness. You need to be a witness, just as I called you to be a witness in the Old Testament, that I am Elohim and I am Elohim all by myself. I want you to be witnesses of the opening of the kingdom to the world, starting here first in Jerusalem. And now when this was noised or heard about abroad, the multitude came together, and were confounded. They were confused. Why were they confused? Because that every man heard them speak in his own language. If you were Zulu, you heard Zulu. If you were French, you heard French. If you were German, you heard German. If you were English, you heard English. Every man heard them speak in his own language. So the Most High wanted to be sure everybody heard and understood. You didn't have to understand Hebrew. The Most High made sure that all the languages were covered. Okay? And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, "Behold, look, are not all these which speak Galileans?" How are they speaking? Let's just read it. "And how hear we every man in our own tongue, wherein we were born?" Remember, these are devout Jews out of every nation. They were born in those nations. But they came back to Jerusalem to keep the feast days. They understood that they were supposed to be going back for Passover. They had to go back for Pentecost. They had to go back for Tabernacles. And so on this Pentecost, the Most High says, "All right, I have representatives here from every nation under the earth. I've scattered my people into them. They are, these people are keeping my statutes, my laws, and my commandments and my judgments. They are my witnesses." Okay. "Parthians and Medes, Elamites and dwellers in Mesopotamia and in Judea and Cappadocia and Pontus and Asia, and Phrygia and Pamphylia and in Egypt and in all parts of Libya, about Cyrene and strangers of Rome, Jews and proselytes, Cretes and Arabians, we do hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of Elohim. And they were all amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, what meaneth this? What does this mean? Others mocking said, these men are full of new wine. You got some new wine out that caused you to speak another language and glorify the Most High. But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, you men of Judea and all you that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you and hearken or listen to my words. For these are not drunken as you suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day, of the day." Now, we're used to counting on 24 hours and 12-hour shifts, but they started counting at 6 o'clock in the morning, the day. So the clock would start over. Sun start coming up, first hour of the day. And that was usually around 6 a.m. "It's but the third hour of the day, 9 in the morning. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last day, saith Yah, saith Elohim, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh." I used to only put this on two categories of flesh, the prophets and the kings. Now I'm going to open it up to my spirit up to all types of people. "Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens, I will pour out in those days of my spirit." The Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Ghost, is the spirit of the Most High. I don't know how people can make it something else. It's the spirit of the Most High. He's not pouring out a spirit of an angel on you. He's pouring out of his spirit, my spirit, and they shall prophesy. "And I will show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath." Now, this is the second part of this prophecy, and this is going to come true after the first part. When the Most High is finished gathering people for the kingdom, then this second part will happen. And I will show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire, vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before what? The great and notable day of Yah come. So part of this, the last part of this feast, and what is going to happen at the time of Pentecost, he's going to turn the sun and the moon into darkness. He's going to, we're going to see blood and fire and vapor of smoke. And that's going to go all the way through trumpets. So we got to understand that whoever, whatever generation sees these signs, they should know that the Most High's return is what? Imminent. Until that time, he's still gathering saints into the kingdom. He's still gathering the first fruits. And he says, and the best of the best, those who are willing to suffer with me, those who were willing to lay down their lives for me, if they are gone to sleep, I'm going to resurrect them. We'll read that in another place. The dead in Christ shall rise first. And then if we were living the life and being persecuted for the word of God and for the testimony of Christ, if we have not taken the mark of the beast, then we which are alive and remain. Because if he tells us, if those days were not cut short, all flesh would perish. He has to cut it short. But if we are alive and we are resisting the Antichrist, we are not taking his mark. We are not worshiping him. We are being chased. We are being killed. If we remain and we're alive when he comes back, if we are alive and remain, then we will be raptured along with all those who hazarded their life and gave it for Mashiach. So there's only one time in history when Antichrist comes, that the masses, that this is really open up to on a mass scale, don't take the mark of the beast. Then you can make it into his kingdom and make the first resurrection and you qualify. But if we just get to live a life where we, you know, are keeping his feast days and, you know, we're showing up for Sabbath class and we're not having to give up anything, really. We're not having to hazard our life for the word of Yah or for the testimony of Christ. Then we make it into the second resurrection. We receive the reward that he says. We receive it. So let's go to, we'll come back here. Let's go to the book of Matthew's. And hold on a minute, let me get this again. Give me a hot second. Matthew's 19. We'll just read it from there. The book of Matthew's chapter 19. Because I would not have us to be ignorant. Okay. Matthew chapter 19 and verse 27. Matthew chapter 19 and verse 27. Then answered Peter and said unto him, Behold, we have forsaken all and follow you. What shall we have therefore? What are we going to receive? And Yeshua said unto them, Verily or seriously I say unto you, that you which have followed me in the regeneration, that's the rapture, in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of his glory, you also shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Now, this is what his apostles are going to receive. And everyone else, everyone that has forsaken houses and brethren or sisters or fathers or mothers or wives or children or lands for my name's sake shall receive 100-fold. And shall inherit everlasting life. But many that are first shall be last, and the last shall be first. So the truth of the matter is, and let's go back to the book of Acts, chapter 2. You're going to get 100-fold of whatever you gave up. That's your reward. Whether you get up in the first resurrection or whether you get up in the second one. The only difference in the first resurrection and the second one, the ones in the first resurrection get to rule with him 1,000 years. And they are not subject to the second death. They're not subject to the lake of fire. Ain't got to worry about that lake of fire. They have proven themselves. But everybody else, they get up in the second resurrection, you gotta find out whether you are going to the lake of fire or not. You gotta know whether your name, find out whether your name is in the Lamb's Book of Life or not. That's what it means by. They are not subject to the second death. Don't even have to worry about it. Proven. They paid the ultimate price. They gave their life. Everybody else will receive eternal life, the crown of life, and 100-fold of whatever they gave up. And that's what they take into the kingdom with them. So if you gave up a dollar, you receive a dollar. You receive $100. If you gave up an acre of land, you receive 100 acres of land. If you lost your spouse, well, I don't even want to go there with that one. Not going to receive 100 spouses. But if you look at it as one family, then all the people that you gave up, as far as love goes, you receive in the kingdom, because everybody's going to have a love one for another. The thing is, he tells you that you get 100-fold of everything that you gave up. Okay? And you receive eternal life. You just don't get to sit on a throne if you didn't give up your life, literally, suffer with him to the level that he suffered. I gave my life for you. Are you willing to give your life for me? That's really what it comes down to. The beginning of that is here in Acts chapter 2, Pentecost. He opens this up. You can become a citizen in my kingdom. It's open. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. So there comes a sound of a rushing mighty wind. All the people, the devout men that are at Jerusalem, they hear these Galileans, these men from Galilee, who probably spoke only Galilean except for, you know, a couple. I think Luke was a physician. He may have spoke Hebrew. When this noise was abroad, the people were confounded. They're confused. How hear we every man magnify and glorify God in the tongue wherein we were born? We should be hearing Galilean, or we should be hearing Hebrew, or we should be hearing Aramaic, or Greek. These were the languages that were common in the land of Israel at that time. But the Most High makes sure that he has witnesses out of every nation. He has witnesses out of every nation. Devout men, not just anybody. Devout men. These people followed the Most High. They kept his commandments. Come back to Jerusalem for the Pentecost. I got something I need for you to hear. I want to offer the kingdom to you first because you're obedient. There were a lot of so-called Jews that weren't obedient. The Most High didn't call them to be there on that Pentecost. The ones that were devout, they were called to be there. And they heard the message. The invitation into the kingdom. And it was first offered to them. You can be devout and still refuse the invitation. Most High is not going to force you. That's what it seems like a lot of people want. They want to be forced. Most High is not going to force you to take something. Matter of fact, he says, hey, don't cast your pearls before who? Swine. Don't take the treasures of the kingdom and offer it to somebody. And if they reject it, keep trying to offer it to them because they're rejecting something of great value. And if they can't appreciate it, don't keep trying to give it to them. They have made their choice. And so you and I have to understand that this gospel of the kingdom is the greatest gift you could ever give somebody. It's the greatest gift. This is how you enter in. This is how you receive the Spirit of the Most High. Got to have the Spirit of the Most High. If you don't, you are none of His. The scriptures say that. If you don't have his spirit, you are none of his. I'm going to pour out my spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. And your old men, your young men shall have dreams. Your old men have visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. Or I might be saying that the opposite. This is of value, the highest value you could ever get. Ain't nothing in this world more valuable than this. Because ain't nothing in this world going to get you into his kingdom. Going to give you eternal life in paradise. Yeah, we're all going to receive eternal life. We read that in Revelations chapter 20 this morning. But if your name ain't found in the Lamb's Book of Life, when he opens up those books of your works, read down through there, what did you do? And you're found guilty? You put on eternal life and you get into the lake. And if you're found innocent and worthy of the kingdom of paradise, then he says, okay, according to your works, this is your reward. 100-fold of whatever you gave up. If you haven't given up anything, how do you expect to receive anything? We were talking about that on Tuesday night in the business meeting. If you're not if you're not willing to put any skin in the game, how is it that you expect to reap the rewards? The same way with Messiah's kingdom. Because if you're not willing to hazard your life, then how are you willing to rule with me? How do you expect to rule with me? You can't. But I got a reward for all those who believed and walked according to what I said. They didn't have to give up their life. They didn't have to pay with their life. But they had to have a change of life. They had to convert. And they had to give up something. They had to contribute something to get into the kingdom. All that you gave up. Whatever you gave up, I'm going to give you 100-fold. Somebody tell me, what's 100-fold of zero? 100 times zero is zero. 100 times. He says, so you got to know how you're going to be rewarded. For Yah loveth a what? Cheerful giver. But he don't want it if you don't want to give it. But he's not, and he's also not going to reward you. So we got to understand this system that he has put in place. On the day of Pentecost, he opens up the kingdom to receive citizens. I call this really Citizenship Day. Verse 9. Well, we read all the way down through verse 11. Verse 12. Acts chapter 2 and verse 12. And they were all amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, what meaneth this? Others mocking said, these men are full of new wine. We had read this already as well. But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, you men of Judea, and all you that dwell at Jerusalem, be it known unto you, and listen to my words. For these are not drunken as you suppose, seeing it is but the third hour, 9 o'clock in the morning. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last day, saith Elohim, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. So when the men are trying to keep the women silent, it means in authority in the church. Not for them to be silent that the Most High can't speak through a woman, can't prophesy through a woman. And I will show wonders in heaven above and the signs in the earth beneath, blood, fire, and vapor of smoke. This is the second part of this prophecy. In the latter days, at the day of Yah, they call it the day of the Lord. When he's going to come back and he's going to judge. That day is not just a single individual day, but it's a time period that is counted as a day. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and notable day of Yah come. This is the last part of this prophecy. So until the Most High finishes gathering souls for the kingdom, we won't see this day. But when he has finished that, you know what? The last one that I have called and accepted has entered in. Then this great and notable day of Yah comes. Judgment comes. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call upon the name of Yah shall be saved. You got to call upon his name and you got to do what he says to do. You men of Israel, hear these words. Yeshua of Nazareth, a man approved of Elohim among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which Elohim did by him in the middle of you, as you yourselves also know, him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of Elohim. Most High wanted this to happen. The Most High caused this to happen. You have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain, whom Elohim has raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not for was not possible that he should be holding of it. Death was not supposed to hold Messiah. For David spake concerning him, I foresaw Yah always before my face, for he is on my right hand that I should not be moved. Therefore did my heart rejoice, and my tongue was glad. Moreover also my flesh shall rest in hope. My flesh shall rest in hope. We are not down in hell being tortured. We're not up in heaven in paradise when we die yet. The scripture says this is one appointed. It is one time appointed for a man to die and then the judgment. But we just read that you got to go through the great white throne judgment. That's the judgment. He's not judging you now and say, oh, you lived an evil life. Go into hell and burn. That's not what's happening. You go to sleep. Somebody can wake you up. There is a way to wake somebody up. The Indians practice it. Necromancers practice it. Says we're not supposed to do it. They are supposed to be asleep. And when he wakes them up, then in the great white throne judgment, those that didn't get up during the first resurrection, those that didn't give their life for the word of Elohim or the testimony of Yeshua, literally give your life, give the ultimate, suffer like he suffered. They reigned with him 1,000 years, and the rest of the dead live not again until after the 1,000 years is up. Then we get up, if we didn't make the first resurrection, and the Lamb's Book of Life is checked. Is your name in the Lamb's Book of Life? Yes. What were your works? What did you give up? You're rewarded 100-fold of whatever you gave up. Enter into the kingdom. That's your reward. Eternal life and 100-fold of whatever you gave up. And if you didn't give up anything, you still got eternal life. And you're still not going to suffer death, and you're not going to suffer sickness or any of that stuff. But your reward is 100% of what you gave. And if you didn't give anything, don't expect to receive anything. But you're supposed to be at rest when we pass from this life until Mashiach returns and in the regeneration. Okay? Because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell. Hold on a minute. Because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Thou hast made known to me the ways of life. And give me a hot second. I got stuff popping up on my screen. Thou shalt make me full of joy with my countenance, with thy countenance, men and brethren. Let me speak freely unto you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his sepulcher is with us unto this day. David's still in that grave. That's what he's trying to tell him. Therefore, being a prophet and knowing that Elohim has sworn an oath to him, that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Mashiach to sit on his throne. He seeing this before spake of the resurrection of Christ or Mashiach, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. He stayed in that grave 3 days and 3 nights. And before his flesh could begin to break down, he resurrected and came out. This Jesus or Yeshua has Elohim raised. Wherefore we are all witnesses. Most High wants witnesses, and that's what we're supposed to be, is witnesses. Even today, witnesses of his power, witnesses that his word is true, witnesses that what he has had written is still happening today. This happened on Pentecost, and that's what that feast is about. Citizenship Day. So rather than celebrating the independence of the United States or Russia's revolution or whatever country you're from, why not celebrate your citizenship in the kingdom of Yah? This is the day that he has given us to celebrate it, Pentecost. This is what this feast is all about. Verse 33. Therefore, being by the right hand of Elohim exalted, lifted up, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he has shed forth this, which you now see and hear, the promise of the Ruach HaKodesh, what the Most High promised. I shall pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. I'm going to do it through Messiah. You believe on him. You accept him. You repent of your sin. You come to me with a truly repentant heart. You want me with everything that you have, that you are. Then I'm going to give you my spirit. I'm going to make you my child. That's why in John chapter 1 he says, and all that believed on him gave he the power to become the sons of Elohim, to become. That means you weren't one before. You have to become a son of Elohim, and this is how you become it. You have to be begotten by the Spirit of the Most High, the Ruach HaKodesh. He opened this up and made this first available during the Feast of Pentecost to all mankind, first to Israel first, 10 years later to the rest of the world. That is what this feast is all about. Okay? And when we celebrate it, then we are celebrating our citizenship into the kingdom. But you got to make sure that you've done everything and that you've had this experience. Because without this experience, you are none of his. Why are you keeping the Pentecost? Why are you celebrating your citizenship into the kingdom if you have not experienced this? Don't leave it to chance. These things were written for us that we might know. So don't leave your salvation to chance. Let's continue, and we'll move on. For David is not ascended into the heavens. Everybody read that, right? Because when the church is telling you when you die, you go into heaven or you go into hell, they're telling you right here, you don't. For David is not ascended into the heavens. But he saith of himself, Yah said unto my Yah, and this is a mystery, sit thou on my right hand until I make thy foes thy footstool. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that Elohim has made the same Yeshua whom you have crucified, both Master and Christ, Lord and Christ. Now, when they heard this, when the people heard this, they were all pricked in their hearts. This prick that is being spoken of here is not like a pin prick. I want you to multiply that by 1,000 times and think about this Roman lance that when you see in the movies, this long Roman spear that they would hold in front of them, that they would be on a horse and they would ride full speed ahead of the foot soldiers, and they would hit these men in the chest with this prick. It was called a prick, and it would bust their heart. That's how it would kill them. You get hit in the chest so hard, it busts your heart. This is what he's talking about here. This is how convicted these people were. It busts their hearts, not literally, but emotionally. They were convicted and said unto Peter and to the rest of apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? We done messed up. We have killed the Messiah. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, for the remission of sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as Yah our Elohim shall call. He's still calling even unto today. Still calling. Still offering the kingdom. And so you and I have to accept. We have to receive it. We have to get our citizenship. Because he tells you, if his spirit don't dwell in us, we are none of his. You have not become my child. He says, and if you say you're my child and you're not my child, then are you a bastard? So we got to make sure that we honor this feast day. We keep it. We celebrate our citizenship into the kingdom. We acknowledge what Messiah did at Passover. He died on the cross, on that tree. He ascends into heaven and he pays the price. All of us that come up under his blood, the Most High says, I'm going to pass over you. I'm going to pass over judgment on you. Because my judgment will bring you death. If I judge you while you are in your sins, the penalty is death. It don't change. So you come up under Messiah, come up under his blood, and I'm going to pass judgment over you. I'm going to see you as a new creature. I'm going to fill you with my spirit, and you're going to become my child. And I'm going to see you like Mashiach. I'm going to see you the same way. But you got to do what he said to do. Every single person has to do what he says to do. And then this feast becomes relevant. Pentecost, the first fruits. You become part of the first fruits. Okay? We have to understand that. Let's talk about the Feast of Trumpets. The Feast of Trumpets. Let's go back to Leviticus, chapter 23. Leviticus, chapter 23. Let's get verse 24, starting at verse 24. Speak unto the children of Israel, saying, in the seventh month, in the first day of the month, shall you have a Sabbath, a holiday, a feast day, a memorial blowing of trumpets, and a holy convocation. You shall do no servile work therein, but you shall offer an offering made by fire unto Yah. And Yah spake unto Moses, saying, also on the 10th day of the 7th month, there shall be a day of atonement. So let's stop here. A memorial blowing of the trumpets. It's a holy holiday. Now the Most High has done this before. Let's go to Exodus chapter 19, I believe. Exodus 19. And let's read this, because when the day comes again, we celebrate trumpets, because this is when the Most High presented himself to Israel We're going to celebrate it again when he returns. And he's going to return in like manner. And when we do this study of trumpets his return, then I'll show you that he's going to cause the sun and the moon to be blocked out. He's not going to compete with that light. Or let me put it another way. That light is not going to compete with him. He's going to black out the stars. And the only thing you're going to see in the heavens is him. The whole earth is going to see him coming. And it's going to be his coming is going to be heralded by these trumpets. Exodus chapter 19, starting in verse 1. In the third month, when the children of Israel were gone forth out of the land of Egypt, the same day came they into the wilderness of Sinai. For they were departed from Rephidim and were come to the desert of Sinai, and had pitched in the wilderness, and there Israel camped before the mount. And Moses went up unto Elohim, and Elohim called unto him out of the mountain, saying, Thus shalt thou say to the house of Jacob, and tell the children of Israel, You have seen what I did unto the Egyptians, and how I bare you on eagle's wings, and brought you unto myself. Now therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed, we read this as part of our affirmation every time we meet. Now, if you will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, you shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people. There's an if condition. If you obey and keep the covenant, then you'll be a peculiar people. For all the earth is mine, and you shall be unto me a kingdom of priests, a holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. And Moses came and called for the elders of the people, and laid before their faces all these words which Yah commanded him. And all the people answered together and said, All that Yah has spoken, we will do. And Moses returned the words of the people unto Yah. And Yah said unto Moses, Lo, I come unto thee in a thick cloud, that the people may hear when I speak to you, and believe you forever. So he caused the people. What we got to understand is Moses did not give the people the Ten Commandments. The Most High did. And they heard him. He spoke directly to this people. Then he called Moses back up on the mountain to write it down. But the Most High spoke it to them. They heard his voice. And Yah said unto Moses, Go unto the people and sanctify them today and tomorrow, and let them wash their clothes and be ready against the third day. I don't want them appearing before me all dirty and grungy. Have them to wash their clothes, clean up, and don't have no sex. Because when you have sex, it puts you in an unclean condition. And you can't be in front of me in that condition. And be ready against the third day. For the third day, Yah will come down in the sight of all the people upon Mount Sinai. And thou shalt set bounds unto the people and around about, saying, Take heed to yourselves, that you go not up into the mount and touch the border of it. Whosoever touches the mount shall be surely put to death. Not slapped on the wrist. Oh, don't touch that. You're dying. We got to understand that the Most High just don't play. When you transgress against him, you die. There shall not a hand touch it, but he shall surely be stoned or shot through. Whether it be of beast or man, it shall not live. When the trumpet sounds long, they shall come up to the mount. This is trumpets. And Moses went down from the mount unto the people and sanctified the people, and they washed their clothes. And he said unto the people, Be ready against the third day, and come not at your wives. When he says, Come not at your wives, don't be laying with the women. Don't be laying with your wife. Stay clean. Because you're going to be in the presence of holiness. You're going to be in the presence of the Most High. And it came to pass on the third day in the morning that there were thunders and lightnings and a thick cloud. I can imagine you've seen a great storm come in. We have all lived long enough that we've seen bad storms come in. And I've seen it, a storm be so dark that it turned day to night. And this is the way the Most High is coming. A thick cloud upon the mount, and the voice of the trumpet exceeding loud. You start hearing these trumpets blowing. Ba-ba! Loud. So loud that it scares you. It scared our forefathers. So that all the people that were in the camp trembled. This is not an ordinary blowing of a trumpet. It's not some man standing up on a hill blowing the shofar. These are the heavenly angels blowing their shofars. And it's so loud that it scared the people. And Moses brought forth the people out of the camp to meet Elohim. And they stood at the nether, or the far part of the mount. Not on it, but near it. And Mount Sinai was altogether on smoke. It was smoking. The mountain had started to catch on fire because Yah descended upon it in fire, and the smoke thereof ascended as the smoke of a furnace, and the whole mountain quaked greatly. Everything is shaking. Not a little bit, it says greatly. If they had buildings, the buildings probably would be falling down. They got tents, boulders rolling down the mountain. The mountain begins to melt. And when the voice of the trumpet sounded long and waxed louder and louder, it didn't get softer. When it first sounded, it was loud enough to make the people tremble. And it just got louder and louder. So the arriving of the Most High is not a small thing. And it's heralded with these trumpets. Royalty is coming. The highest of the highest is coming. So if you think about some trumpets blowing for a king and his arrival, how much more do you think the trumpets are going to sound that announce the Most High? That they waxed long and louder and louder. Moses spake, and Elohim answered him by a voice. The people heard this. The Most High did it intentionally. I want the people to hear me talk to you. The entire nation talk to you. And Yah came down upon Mount Sinai and on top of the mount. And Yah called Moses up to the top of the mount. And Moses went up. And Yah said unto Moses, go down and charge the people, lest they break through unto Yah to gaze. And many of them perish. Moses is going to remind the Most High, hey, you already told us this. They've been told not to come up here. But the Most High knows his people. And that we are stiff-necked and hard-headed. Somebody going to come up here. Okay, that's what he's telling Moses. And let the priests also which come near to Yah sanctify themselves, lest Yah break forth upon them. They've already been and seen the, well, we have to get that. Didn't cover that. And Moses said unto Yah, the people cannot come up to the Mount Sinai. For thou charged us, saying, set bounds about the mount and sanctify it. And Yah said unto him, away, get thee down. Thou shalt come up, thou and Aaron with thee. But let not the priest and the people break through to come up unto Yah, lest he break forth upon them. So Moses went down unto the people and spake unto them. Now, when you read the rest of this story, the Most High starts speaking to the people, and he gives them the Ten Commandments. And he gives them the do's and the don'ts. This goes on for 6 days. 6 days. He didn't just come down and just appear and then go back up. But from Exodus chapter 19 all the way to Exodus chapter 24, 6 days goes by. Okay? And you have to understand that the Most High is speaking to the children of Israel this whole time. All of his statutes, his laws, his commandments, he gives to the children of Israel. They agree to the covenant, to the contract. When the Most High returns, Messiah, it says this time when he goes, when he shows himself in the sky, he's going to darken out the sun and the moon and the stars. And we're going to see his light. Then he's going to descend and touch down where? On the Mount of Olives. And when he touches down on the Mount of Olives, it's not just going to be an earthquake. It's not just going to be a little bit of trembling. But it says that the mountain is going to actually split in fourth, in a fourth. Half of it's going to split and go north and south. And in those two halves that split and start going north and south, going to split again and go east and west, like a square. At his arrival, that's also going to be heralded with these trumpets. And this is when he's going to return. So we got to understand that this is what trumpets is about. It's heralding the arrival of the Most High. It's going to herald the arrival of Messiah when he returns. After he has finished gathering in his saints, when the age of the church, the building of the body of Messiah is over, then the day of Yah comes. When he comes to pronounce judgment on this earth, Satan's going to already be busy trying to destroy the saints, trying to get as many people to take the mark of the beast as he can. And if you are not sure of your salvation, and if you don't have the Ruach HaKodesh, trust me, you will take this mark. You will try to save your own life. You will. You will not have the power or the strength to resist it. It will make sense to you. And you won't have discernment not to take it. Even though you've read it, you won't have discernment not to take it. So it's important that we get the Ruach HaKodesh. It's important that we become the sons of Elohim, his children. It's important that you understand that that only happens when you receive his spirit. Reading his word is not receiving his spirit. The Pharisees and the Sadducees, the lawyers, had his word. He told them, you must be born again of the water. We be the seed of Abraham. And of the spirit, we be the seed of Abraham. What do we need to do this for? We are chosen people. You want to enter into the kingdom? Then you got to do what I said do. This is my plan of salvation. This is how I'm going to get you out of your sin. Accept me as your King, as your Savior, as your Redeemer. Get baptized into my name. Got to use my name. There's no other name under heaven whereby men must be saved. Name, not title. Father is a title. Son is a title. Holy Ghost is really a title. Describing who? The Most High himself. He is the Ruach HaKodesh. He is the Holy Spirit. Before him, before he created anything, he was a spirit. He was holy. He is the Holy Spirit. That's why he says, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. Got to have his spirit and be begotten of his spirit. He says the same thing that the apostles did, the same thing that the Gentiles did. You will speak in tongues. It's a sign so that you can know that you know. You ain't got to be guessing. So that you can know that you know that I have accepted you. The same sign I put on the apostles, the same signs I put on the Gentiles. So that the apostles, the Hebrews would know that I've accepted the Gentiles. For we heard them speak in tongues just like we did. Other than that, how would they know? The kingdom of heaven comes without observation. You can't see the Spirit of the Most High enter into someone. He says, so I got to give you some type of external sign. It was the speaking in tongues. Tongues are for a sign, not to them that believe. Who's the non-believer in this case? The non-believer is not those that are saved, that are not saved. Let me change that. The non-believer in this case, Peter and the Hebrews that came with him to Cornelius' house, the Most High had already filled them with the Holy Ghost. They had already spoken in tongues. The sign was when the Gentiles spoke in tongues, as the Spirit of the Most High gave them utterance, as a sign to Peter them. Because they don't believe that the Gentiles can receive the Ruach HaKodesh. So the unbeliever is those who have been saved but don't know that you've been saved, have been chosen by the Most High but don't know that you have been chosen by the Most High. This is the sign. And it's not the same as the gift of tongues for ministering. This is a sign that you have been accepted, that the Most High has chosen you. I can't see it happen. You couldn't see it happen to me. I couldn't see it happen to you. But when you show the sign that the Most High gave, then I know. Then you know. And people are teaching against this. Not even teaching people that they really got to be filled with the Ruach. This is what Pentecost was all about. This is what trumpets going to happen. When trumpets happen, it's too late. Mashiach has already returned, and he's coming to judge this time. He's not coming to take in people who haven't accepted him. He's not coming to offer the gospel up. He's not coming to say repent. I'm coming to kill all those who have been disobedient. I'm coming to clean up the world. I'm getting rid of all false religions. I'm getting rid of all deceivers. I'm getting rid of all people who are rebellious. That's what he's going to do when he comes. The same thing he told Joshua to do. When you go into the promised land, tear down all these people's altars that they worship false gods on. Take all their holy things into the middle of the street. Kill them and burn up all this stuff. Clean up my land. Messiah is going to do this on a global scale. He's going to do it globally. He's not taking the rebellious. If you've been rebellious at this time, your judgment is coming. When we do the day of Yah, I do one of those lessons as part of the newcomers class. When I do that lesson, then I'll go into details on what he's going to do. It's going to be terrible. He's taking lives and not taking names. And if you're alive, then you are supposed to fret. You're supposed to be afraid. Because you don't know whether you're going to make it until he passes by you. And he says, well, if I pass by you and you survive, I'll leave you a meat offering. He's going to leave the meat offering. It's going to be so bad, you're going to be starving. You're going to not have food. So let me leave you some meat and a drink offering, and you go ahead and consume. This is what trumpets is all about. It's his arrival. Let's go to 1 Thessalonians, chapter 4. So we see the Most High come down to meet his people. And he tells Moses, I want the people to hear. And if we went into the next chapter, then we would have read that he wanted the people to hear so that they would learn to fear him. He came in a way that it caused them to fear, but he wanted them also to hear his voice, that they might fear him and keep his commandments. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, let's get verses 13 through 18. But I would not have you ignorant, you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Yeshua died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Yeshua will Elohim bring with him. For this we say unto you, by the word of Yah, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord of Yah shall not prevent them which are asleep. For Yah himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of Elohim. The trumpet of Elohim is going to sound when he comes, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet Yah in the air. So shall we be forever with him, with Yah. Now I'm saying it that way for a reason. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Now, as we read on this morning in Revelation chapter 20 and verse 4 and 5, the people who rise at this time, at this coming, or those who have given their life. The way it is written, you would think that everybody that's in Mashiach is going to rise at this time. This is an overview. He gives you the details in Revelation chapter 20, verses 4 and 5. Okay? So the church will use these verses and tell you everybody's going to get up. All those who are asleep in Mashiach, they're going to get up at this time. So let's go to Revelation chapter 20. Let's get verses 4 and 5. Reinforce this. Revelation chapter 20, verses 4 and 5. And I saw the thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Yeshua and for the word of Elohim, and which had not worshipped the beast. It's important that you understand this. Which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark on their foreheads or in their hands. And they, this group of people, lived and reigned with Christ, with Mashiach, 1,000 years. They are the ones that are resurrected at his return. Those that died and gave their life for the word of Elohim and the testimony of Mashiach, literally gave your life, were killed. Or you didn't take the mark of the beast. Bow down to his image. Then you get to reign with him 1,000 years. You qualify. If you live during this time of the Antichrist and you survive it, you didn't die. You are transformed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, because you survived what the verse says you have to survive. If you get killed for not taking the mark of the beast, you will qualify for verse 4. If you survive without taking the mark of the beast, or worshiping him as his image, then you qualify for this verse. But if you just lived and accepted Mashiach as your Lord and Savior, your Master and your Savior, and you were redeemed by his blood, you don't get up in the first resurrection. You get up in the second one. Everybody that qualifies for the first resurrection must qualify by the standards of verse 4. But the rest of the dead live not again. Everybody else. You're in Mashiach. You're going to receive eternal life, and you're going to enter into the kingdom if your name is found in the Lamb's Book of Life. Live not again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. When Mashiach comes back and he appears in the sky and he comes down and his foot touches down on the Mount of Olives, all those who hear that trumpet, who have died in him, meaning that they hazarded their life, they gave their life, they did not worship the beast or his image. They didn't receive the mark. They died for the word of Elohim or for the testimony of Mashiach. You are resurrected. That is not everybody in the church. Understand this. That is not everybody that's in Mashiach. Understand this. You get up after the 1,000 years. You still get your reward of eternal life. You still get to enter into the kingdom. But you get 100-fold of whatever you gave up. 100-fold. That's what you receive. And you get eternal life. But you don't get to reign with him 1,000 years. So when we don't take line upon line and precept upon precept, and the Most High doesn't show you to put everything together, here's the overview. This is what I want you to qualify for. I want you to give your all to me. I want you to be willing, and if I call for your life, be willing to lay down your life even for me, as I laid down my life for you. Then you have qualified yourself to reign with me 1,000 years. So great is going to be the tribulation. And you're going to have to be so strong not to take the mark of the beast. Or to worship him. He says, if you can overcome that, if you're alive in those days, then you qualify as well. Because if he catches you, if the beast catches you, if the Antichrist catches you, he's going to behead you. If you come up right up front and say, hey, I'm not worshiping the beast, he's going to have you beheaded. If you flee into the wilderness, into the mountains, out of the cities, he's going to try to have you hunted down. So you got to understand this. This is going to happen during the time of trumpets. It's going to happen at the last trumpet. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. The book of 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Verse 52. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 52. Actually, let's get verses 51 and 52. 53. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, bat your eye. One time you were mortal, you open your eye, you're now immortal. Just that fast. When? At the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. He's talking to all those people who do what the Most High says to do, who make him their all, who are willing to give up their life, literally, for him, who have not taken the mark of the beast, if you live through that, during that time. If the Antichrist doesn't come today, and you pass today, and you didn't give your life, literally, they didn't kill you for the word of the Most High, or for the testimony of Christ. It's not why you died. You died of natural causes. You died from disease or somebody broke in and killed you, whatever the case. But you didn't die for the word of the Most High or for the testimony of Christ. You're going to get up in the second resurrection. But if you, somebody came and said, hey, denounce Mashiach or someone kill you, I will never denounce the name of Mashiach. With my life, bam, they shoot you. You qualify for verse 4 in Revelations. You gave your life. You qualify. The Antichrist comes. He institutes all these systems. You can neither buy nor sell. You can't get a job. You can't buy groceries. You are on the run. You choose not to run. I'm going to stand up, and for Yah will I die. And I'm going to tell you I'm not taking the mark of the beast. He's going to kill you. You qualify. You happen to run, and you survive. Mashiach returns. You haven't taken the mark of the beast. You haven't bowed down and worshipped him. Then he's going to change you in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. And the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall put on incorruption, and this mortal shall put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? Okay? This happens at the last trump. This will happen during the times of trumpets. And so we got to understand. We got to make ourselves available. We got to do what the Most High has said to do. You want a throne? You want to rule with him 1,000 years? Then do what it takes to rule with him 1,000 years. You just want to make it into the kingdom and you don't want a throne? Then obey his statutes, his laws, and his commandments. Obey his voice. Do what he says to do with your whole heart. Don't willfully sin. Then you will qualify and you'll get up in the second resurrection. And your name will be in the Lamb's Book of Life. And you will be awarded 100-fold of whatever you gave up. Okay? The Day of Atonement. Leviticus chapter 23 and verse 27. Leviticus chapter 23 and verse 27. Also on the 10th day of the 7th month, there shall be a day of atonement. It shall be a holy convocation unto you, and you shall afflict your souls and offer an offering made by fire unto Yah. He really wants us to take a break from sin. That's what the atonement is about. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 58. Isaiah chapter 58. And we're going to start in verse 1. Isaiah chapter 58, starting in verse 1. Cry aloud and spare not. Lift up thy voice like a trumpet, and show my people their transgression, and the house of Jacob their sins. Yet they seek me daily, and delight to know my ways, as a nation that did righteousness. What he's saying is, show my people their sins, and they're approaching me like they're not in sin. They want to seek my righteousness. They want to know my ways like they're doing righteousness. And forsook not the ordinance of their Elohim. They ask of me the ordinances of justice. They take delight in approaching to Elohim. You approaching me like you got a right to approach me. You coming to me in prayer like you got a right to come to me in prayer and ask me what my advice is and to watch over you. And you don't obey my voice. You don't keep my commandments. This is what he's accusing Israel of. Israel says, wherefore, why have we fasted, they say, and you see not, Most High? Wherefore have we afflicted our souls? And thou takest no knowledge. Behold, in the day of your fast, now the Most High is answering them. Behold, in the day of your fast, you find pleasure and exact all your labors. I told you that this is a day that you are to afflict your souls and you're not to do anything else on it. You are to take a break from sin. Behold, you fast for strife and debate and to smite with the fist of wickedness. You shall not fast as you do this day, to make your voice to be heard on high. You ain't doing righteousness. Why are you approaching to me like as though you got a right to? And this is where many saints are at, approaching the Most High in their wickedness as though they got a right to approach him. He's telling us we don't have a right. If we are willfully doing wickedness, willfully being disobedient, we don't have a right to approach him and ask anything. Is this such a fast that I have chosen? A day for a man to afflict his soul? Is it to bow down his head as a bulrush? And to spread sackcloth and ashes unto him? Is this what I ask you for? Wilt thou call this a fast? an acceptable day to Yah? Now he's going to tell them this is what he really wants on the Day of Atonement. Is not this the fast that I have chosen? To loose the bands of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, and to let the oppressed go free, and to break every yoke of bondage is what he's talking about. Bondage to sin. Is not to deal thy bread to the hungry. Do something for somebody else. And that thou bring the poor that are cast out to thy house. The Day of Atonement. Do something good. When thou seest the naked, that thou covers him. That thou hide not thyself from thine own flesh. You got some people in your family, don't know salvation, that are walking in wickedness, or that have been put out, do something good for them. Then shall thy light break forth as the morning, and thy health shall spring forth speedily, and thy righteousness shall go before thee, and the glory of Yah shall be thy reward. So you got to understand, this is what the Day of Atonement is about. Take a fast from doing wickedness. Do those things that please Yah. The Yah heart is for the fatherless, the widow, and the homeless. Do something good for them. Take a break from sin. Afflict your soul, because apparently to do something good hurts you. You ain't used to doing it. You used to coming to me like you deserve to come to me, like you are righteous, like you are without sin. It's not what I want. So atone for your works that you have not done. This is what he really wants. Take a fast from sinning and do some good. Now, if we are not practicing sin and we doing good, then we still observe this day. It's a special day to do good. All right? Let's go to Zechariah. Reflect back on your life. See what you are doing. Zechariah chapter 12. The book of Zechariah chapter 12. And let's get verse 10. Zechariah chapter 12 and verse 10. Now this is speaking of the day of the Lord also. And it shall come to pass in that day that I will seek to destroy all the nations that come against Jerusalem. Verse 9, verse 10, and I will pour out upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and of supplication. And they shall look upon me whom they have pierced, and they shall mourn for him. Now this is a going from the first person to the third person. And the Most High is trying to tell you who he is. They shall look upon me whom they have pierced. They pierce Messiah, and they shall mourn for him as though it's like somebody else, as one mourneth for his only son, and shall be in bitterness for him, as one that is in bitterness for his firstborn. Israel, during the Day of Atonement, this is also going to be brought up to Israel, those that pierced him, the nation that pierced him, that killed him, and that didn't accept him. Remember when? And in that day shall there be a great mourning in Jerusalem. In the morning of Hadadrimon, in the valley of Megiddo, and the land shall mourn every family apart, the family of the house of David apart, and their wives apart, and the family of the house of Nathan apart, and their wives apart, and the family of the house of Levi apart, and their wives apart, the family of Shemaiah apart, and their wives apart, and the families that remain, every family apart, and their wives apart. They're going to make atonement for the killing of Mashiach. We as a nation are going to have to make an atonement for this. Romans chapter 11. Verses 1 through 6. Romans chapter 11, verses 1 through 6. I say then, hath Elohim cast away his people? Because this is what the church teaches. God threw y'all away. Y'all were disobedient. Hath Elohim cast away his people? Elohim forbid. For I also am an Israelite, of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. Elohim has not cast away his people, which he foreknew. Know you not what the scripture saith about Elias or Isaiah? How he maketh intercession to Elohim against Israel, saying, Yah, they have killed thy prophets and digged down thine altars. And this is Elijah. And I am left alone, and they seek my life. But what saith the answer of Elohim unto him? I have reserved to myself 7,000 men who have not bowed the knee to the image of Baal. Even so, then at this present time, also there is a remnant. You want to be part of the remnant that don't bow the knee to the image of the Antichrist, that don't worship his image or him. Even so, then at this present time, also there is a remnant according to the election of grace. And if by grace, then it is no more works. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. But if it be of works, then it is no more grace. Otherwise, work is no more work. What then? Israel has not obtained that which he seeks for, but the election have obtained it. The rest were blinded. According as it is written, Elohim has given them the spirit of slumber, eyes that they should not see, and ears that they should not hear, until this day. And this is still very true in Israel today. They still have not accepted the real gospel of Messiah, too excited about being a Hebrew Israelite, rather than coming to the truth of salvation. But on the Day of Atonement in the future, Yah is going to call all of Israel into remembrance. And David said, let their table be a snare and a trap and a stumbling block, and a recompense, a repayment unto them. Let their eyes be darkened, that they may not see, and bow down their back always. I say then, have they stumbled that they should fall? Elohim forbid. But rather through their fall, salvation is come unto the Gentiles. For to provoke Israel to jealousy. When we learn who we are as a people, and we come out of the churches, because the churches are teaching a lot of falsehood, but the Most High created the church to provoke Israel to jealousy, just as we provoked him to jealousy by worshiping other gods. We got to make atonement for that. Got to make atonement for our forefathers. Jump down to verse 25. We won't read all of this. It's a whole lesson and a half within this one chapter. Verses 25 through 36. For I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles has come in. And so all Israel shall be saved, as it is written. there shall come out of Zion a deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. For this is my covenant unto them, Israel, when I shall take away their sins. As concerning the gospel, they are enemies for your Gentile sake. But as touching the election, they are beloved for the Father's sake. The Most High is not going to repent. His priesthood is still going to be Israel. For the gifts and calling of Elohim are without repentance. I gave them the statutes, the laws, the commandments, and the ordinances. You want to be a part of that, and you got to join Israel. I'll show you that in another lesson. For as you in times past have not believed Elohim, yet have now obtained mercy through their Israel's unbelief. Even so, these Israel also not believe that through your Gentiles' mercy, they may also obtain mercy. The Most High took the gospel from Israel, gave it to the Gentiles, to give it back to Israel. For Elohim has concluded them all in unbelief, that he might have mercy upon all. Oh, the depths of the riches of both the wisdom and the knowledge of Elohim. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. For who has known the mind of Yah, or who has been his counselor? So we just do what we're told to do. As the Most High wakes us up, we make an atonement. We make an atonement to him. We acknowledge what our forefathers did. We repent of it. We turn from our wicked ways. We celebrate that on the Day of Atonement as well. We remember what our forefathers did to Messiah, how they caused him to be pierced and killed. And we repent for them. Another lesson. Let's talk about tabernacles and booths. Tabernacles and booths. We have one more verse to read there, verse 36. For of him and through him and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen. Just do what you're told to do. Recognize who you are and do your part, because the Most High was using Israel to bring the gospel to the Gentiles. He says, all right, my people want to reject me. They want to worship the gods of the Gentiles. Let me turn them over to that, and I'm going to create a church. It's going to have my people in it, and it's going to have Gentiles in it as well. And this church is to make Israel jealous. You chose us, Most High. We are priesthood. Now you're going to let somebody else do it? To make us jealous. Like I said, a whole nother story. Tabernacles and booths. Leviticus chapter 23 and verse 34. And I ask you to bear with me. We'll be here a couple of minutes. Let's finish this up this evening. Leviticus chapter 23, verse 24. Verse 34, I'm sorry. Speak unto the children of Israel, saying, the 15th day of the seventh month shall be the Feast of Tabernacles for 7 days unto Yah. On the first day shall be a holy convocation. You shall do no servile work therein. 7 days you shall offer an offering made by fire unto Yah. On the eighth day shall be a holy convocation unto you. And you shall offer an offering made by fire unto Yah. It is a solemn assembly. And you shall do no servile work therein. Okay. Tabernacles and booths. This is the only feast day that the world is invited to. In the Messiah's kingdom, all the nations of the world are going to be required to come to Jerusalem for tabernacles, to be taught the gospel, to be taught the law. Micaiah chapter 4. Give me a hot second. There we go. Micaiah chapter 4. Verses 1 through 7. But in the last days it shall come to pass that the mountain of the house of Yah shall be established in the top of the mountains, and it shall be exalted above the hills, and the people shall flow unto it. And many nations will come and say, come, and let us go up to the mountain of Yah, and to the house of Elohim, the Elohim of Jacob. And he will teach us his ways, and we will walk in his path. For the law shall go forth of Zion, and the word of Yah from Jerusalem. And he shall judge among many people, and rebuke strong nations afar off. And they shall beat their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. And nations shall not lift up a sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more. But they shall sit every man under his vine and under his fig tree, and none shall make them afraid. For the mouth of Yah of hosts hath spoken it. For all the people will walk everyone in the name of his Elohim, and we will walk in the name of Yah our Elohim forever and ever. In that day, saith Yah, I will assemble her that has halted, and I will gather her that is driven out, and her that I have afflicted, and I will make her that is halted a remnant, and her that has cast that was cast afar off a strong nation, and Yah shall reign over them in Mount Zion from henceforth even forever. Okay. And let's go to Isaiah 66. All right, this is a prophetic chapter. Thus saith Yah, starting in verse 1. Thus saith Yah, the heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool. Where is the house that you build unto me? Where is the place of my rest? For all these things, those things has my hand made, and all those things have been, saith Yah. But to this man will I look, to this man will I look. Even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit and trembles at my word. If you don't tremble at his word, if you count on your wealth, then he says, I'm not looking for you. I'm looking for those that are poor and contrite of spirit and tremble at my word. He that killeth an ox as if he slew a man. This is going to be in that day. Because there's not going to be any death. Or not supposed to be any death. We're not supposed to be doing this. He that kills an ox is as if he slew a man. And he that sacrificed a lamb as if he cut off a dog's neck. He that offers an oblation as if he offered swine's blood. And he that burns incense as if he blessed an idol. Yea, they have chosen their own ways. And their soul delighteth in their abomination. I also will choose their delusion, and will bring their fears upon them. Because when I called, none did answer. And when I spake, they did not hear. But they did evil before my eyes, and chose that which I delighted not. Hear the word of Yah, you that tremble at his word. Your brethren that hated you. You think your family going to like you? If you're doing this, they're not going to like you. You're going to be contrary to them if they still of the world. That cast you out for my name's sake. That let Yah be glorified. but he shall appear to your joy. See, they're going to think they're doing the Most High's will, like Paul thought he was doing the Most High's will when he was persecuting the church. Then Messiah had to come to him and say, hey, why are you kicking against the pricks? Why are you kicking against the feelings that you know you're having? It's me that you're persecuting. You start going back and keeping his statutes, his laws, and his commandments. You're observing his feast days, keeping his Sabbaths. The world, your family, don't want to hear it. But he says he's going to appear because you're doing it because you know and you fear and tremble at his word. Hear the word of Yah, you that tremble at his word. Your brethren that hated you, that cast you out for my name's sake. Said, let Yah be glorified. This is what they said. But he shall appear to your joy. They're going to think they're doing the right thing. They're going to call you a cultish. They're going to say that, you know, you're a Bible thumper, that you are off your rocker. And they shall be ashamed. A voice of noise from the city, a voice from the temple, a voice of Yah that renders recompense to his enemies. Before she travailed, she brought forth, before her pain came, she was delivered of a man-child. It's talking about Israel. Who has heard such a thing? Who has seen such a thing? Shall the earth be made to bring forth in one day? Shall a nation be born at once? For as soon as Zion travailed, she brought forth her children. Shall I bring to birth and not cause to bring forth? Saith Yah, shall I cause to bring forth and shut the womb? Saith Elohim, rejoice you with Jerusalem and be glad with her, all you that love her. Rejoice for joy with her, all you that mourn for her. You should be in mourning for Jerusalem right now because it is not in the hands of righteous people. That you may suck and be satisfied with the breast of her consolations. That you may milk out and be delighted with the abundance of her glory. For thus saith Yah, behold, I will extend peace to her like a river, and the glory of the Gentiles like a flowing stream. Then shall you suck. You shall be born upon her side, and be dandled upon her knees, as one whom his mother comforted. So will I comfort you, and you shall be comforted in Jerusalem. When you see this, your heart shall rejoice, and your bones shall flourish like a herb, and the hand of Yah shall be known toward his servants, and his indignation toward his enemies. So my servants, my people shall know my mercy and my good, and my enemies shall know my indignation, my anger, and my wrath. For behold, Yah will come with fire, and with his chariots like a whirlwind, to render his anger with fury, and his rebuke with flames of fire. For by fire and by his sword will Yah plead with all flesh, and the slain of Yah shall be many. Supposed to teach the nations this. Israel's supposed to know this. They that sanctify themselves and purify themselves in the gardens behind one tree in the midst, eating swine's flesh, and the abomination and the mouse shall be consumed together, saith Yah. Because people are eating all kind of things that the Most High says they're supposed to be eating. It's good for them, but if you say you belong to him, you're not supposed to be eating this. So if you say it's okay and I can continue to eat swine and I can eat all this, you know, seafood and stuff that he says is not clean, but you belong to him, he's going to consume you. For I know their works and their thoughts. It shall come that I will gather all nations and tongues, and they shall come and see my glory. And I will set a sign among them, and I will send those that escaped of them unto the nations, to Tarshish, to Pul, and Lud, that draw the bow, to Tubal, and Javan, and to the isles afar off, that have not heard my fame, neither have seen my glory, And they shall declare my glory amongst the Gentiles. And they shall bring all your brethren from for an offering unto Yah out of all nations upon horses, and in chariots, and in litters, and upon mules, and upon swift beasts, to my holy mountain Jerusalem, saith Yah, as the children of Israel bring an offering in a clean vessel into the house of Yah. Yah is going to clean up his people. I will also take of them for priests and for Levites, saith Yah. For as the new, as for the new heaven, for as the new heavens and the new earth, which I will make, shall remain before me, saith Yah, so shall your seed and your name remain. And it shall come to pass that from one new moon to another, and from one Sabbath to another, shall all flesh come to worship before me, saith Yah. And they shall go forth to look upon the carcasses of the men that have transgressed against me. For their worm shall not die, neither shall their fire be quenched, and they shall be an abhorring to all flesh. Now that's the way it's going to end up in the kingdom. Let me get one more verse. Give me a hot second here, because I thought I pulled this, but I didn't. Go to Zechariah chapter 14. Zechariah chapter 14. Zechariah chapter 14, let's start in verse 1 and we will be finished with this. Behold, the day of Yah cometh, and thy spoil shall be divided in the midst of thee. For I will gather all nations against Jerusalem to battle, and the city shall be taken, and the houses rifled, and the women ravished. And half of the city shall go forth into captivity, and the residue of the people shall not be cut off from the city. Then shall Yah go forth and fight against those nations when he fought, as when he fought in the day of battle. And his feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east. And the Mount of Olives shall cleave, shall split in the midst thereof, in the middle thereof, toward the east and toward the west. And there shall be a great valley, and half of the mountain shall remove toward the north, so split in fours, as I told you, and half of it too toward the south. And you shall flee to the valley of the mountains, for the valley of the mountains shall reach unto Azael. Yea, you shall flee, like as you fled from before the earthquake in the days of Uzziah, king of Judah. And Yah, my Elohim, shall come, and all the saints with thee. And it shall come to pass in that day that the light shall not be clear or nor dark. It's going to be like twilight. But it shall be one day which shall be known to Yah, not day nor night. But it shall come to pass that at evening time it shall be light. And it shall be in that day that the living water shall go forth, shall go out from Jerusalem, half of them toward the former sea, and half of them toward the hinder sea. In summer and in winter it shall be. And Yah shall be king over all the earth. In that day shall there be one Yah, and his name one. And the land shall be turned as a plain from Geba to Ramon, south of Jerusalem. And it shall be lifted up and inhabited in her place, from Benjamin's gate unto the place of the first gate, unto the corner gate, and from the tower of Hanel unto the king's wine presses. And men shall dwell in it, and there shall be no more utter destruction, but Jerusalem shall be safely inhabited. And this shall be the plague wherewith Yah will smite all the people that have fought against Jerusalem. Their flesh shall be consumed away while they stand on their feet. He shall rain down fire upon them. And their eyes shall be consumed away in their holes, and their tongue shall be consumed away in their mouth. And it shall come to pass in that day that a great tumult from Yah shall be among them. And they shall lay hold every one on the hand of his neighbor. And his hand shall rise up against the hand of his neighbor. And Judah also shall fight at Jerusalem. and the wealth of all the heathen round about shall be gathered together, gold, silver, and apparel in great abundance. And so shall the plague of the horse, and of the mule, and of the camel, and of the ass, and of the beast that shall be in these tents, all as this plague. And it shall come to pass that everyone that is left of all the nations which came against Jerusalem shall even go up from year to year to worship the King, Yah of hosts, and to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. It shall be that whoso will not come up of all the families of the earth unto Jerusalem to worship the King, Yah of hosts, even upon them shall be no rain. If the family of Egypt go not up and come not that have no rain, there shall be a plague wherewith Yah will smite the heathen that come not up to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. This shall be the punishment of Egypt and the punishment of all the nations that come not up to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. In that day there shall be upon the bells of the horses holiness unto Yah, and the pots of Yah's house, and the pots of Yah's house shall be like the bowls before the altar. They're going to be holy. Yet every pot in Jerusalem, in Judea, shall be holiness unto Yah of hosts. And all they that sacrifice shall come and take of them, and see therein. And in that day there shall be no more Canaanite in the house of Yah of hosts. All right. We will do a deeper lesson on this. When I do tabernacles, I do a deeper lesson on this so that we have understanding, that we understand the Most High is going to reinstitute animal sacrifice. Not going to be sacrificed for sin, but he loves sacrifice, and the animals were made for that as a sweet savor unto his nostril. And so you got to have some understanding that animal sacrifice is not gone forever. It will be reinstituted in the Messiah's kingdom. And the Gentiles will be required, all the nations will be required to come to Jerusalem for the Feast of Tabernacles. And if they don't come, this is during Messiah's kingdom, if they don't come, then he causes it not to rain on their land. And they suffer for their disobedience. No food, no other nation's going to come and help them either, because then they're going to be in violation of the Most High. So another lesson, but understand that Messiah and boots, the other spiritual aspect to tabernacles is we are those living tabernacles. When we get filled with the Spirit of the Most High on when he filled Messiah with, when Messiah received the Holy Ghost as the sign with John, he was already filled with the Holy Ghost, but as the sign, John saw it announcing him as Messiah, that it announced that the Most High was in the earth, and through the veil of his flesh, he offers the Holy Spirit to all mankind. So the tabernacle moved from a building, which the first tabernacle was a building, and the Most High would meet the people in this building, to the tabernacle being in flesh, Messiah. You and I become those same tabernacles in flesh, living tabernacles. So when we teach on tabernacles, I also teach you this, that we are the living tabernacles. We are the ones that have the Most High dwelling in us. And we're offering salvation to the world. When we show up, the Most High shows up. If we are doing what we are supposed to do, then the miracles should start to happen, just like they did in the first days. But Messiah fulfilled tabernacles, the Most High being in flesh. Today, we are those living tabernacles. In the future, the world will have to come to Jerusalem to be retaught. And they have to come every tabernacles. But we're supposed to be reteaching them now, if we know what we're supposed to be doing. All right. I hope something was said to encourage you to keep the feast days of the Most High. These are the things that he says, the days that he honors. They honor him. They honor what he did through the role of Messiah. They honor his creation. They honor his salvation. Not the feast days and the holidays of the world, but of the Most High. The church who has accepted Messiah, Yeshua HaMashiach, as their Messiah, why would they not keep his feast days? Why would they read the scripture saying that they're not to be a respecter of these days? It is foolishness and it is nonsense. These days tell what he's going to do and what he has done. And we're supposed to honor him in them. Not just Israel, but even the Gentile nations, all those who are in Mashiach, who accept him as their quote-unquote Lord and Savior. They're supposed to also keep these. Observe them. Understanding that the covenant, the new covenant, doesn't require the animal sacrifices. Messiah fulfilled those. They were done away with. We still observe the days, and we honor him. We do those things that he says to do. We don't work on those days. They are holy. And so we have to understand that. And by keeping those things, we do honor him. We do show that we love him. Because he commanded that they be kept perpetually throughout all times. So I hope something was said to encourage you to keep his feast days if you don't. If you are just learning of his feast days, I encourage you to find out when they are, to schedule your vacation around his feast days. There are enough feast days that if you got 30 days off, half of your vacation time should be dedicated to the Most High. The rest of the time, he don't tell you what to do with your vacation. You want to go to Monaco? Go to Monaco. You want to go to Puerto Rico? Go to Puerto Rico. You want to go to Hawaii? Go to Hawaii. But you ought to be keeping his feast days. And if you don't have enough days to take your personal vacation, then your vacation should be dedicated to the Most High, keeping his feast days. Just telling you how it is. That's the mindset he's looking for. That's who he wants. Not for you to say that you know him, but indeed you deny him. Don't care whether you're Gentile or Jew. If you say you know him, then in deeds are you ought to honor him. That means keeping his feast days, recognizing his accomplishments, the ones that he wants us to recognize, his celebrations. These are the things that I want you to celebrate. And even though you weren't a member of Israel, you have joined yourself to Israel. And don't look at Israel as a particular people. Because the Most High really only wants the righteous and obedient out of Israel. Just because you're a Hebrew Israelite of the flesh don't mean that you're his child if you're being disobedient. So got you scattered. We got your forefathers scattered. That's what got us scattered around all into all the nations of the world. So it doesn't matter whether we're in the islands, because all the people in the islands, 99% of them, they are not native to those islands, especially those that are close to the U.S. Your fathers chose to fight for the British in the Revolutionary War. The Negroes that ended up staying in America, chose to fight for the Americans to win this country. And then they were deceived and put into slavery, back into slavery after the war. The British, at least they honored their commitment. They didn't take you back to Britain with them, to England with them. They dropped you in the islands. But that's how you got there. You're still the same slaves as those that were in the Americas. So why the people who are in the islands, why they have this mentality that they are better than the African-American Negro, I don't know. It is deception. You're the same people. Just that your forefathers chose to fight for the British, got dropped in the islands. The ones that stayed in America and fought for the Americans, the 12 colonies, they were put back in slavery. That is the difference. And that's the only difference. We are all Israel. We were all scattered into these countries. You ended up in the islands by the vehicle that you got there. And those that are African Americans, so-called Negro, fought for the other side. So I hope something was said to encourage you to keep these feast days, that you understand the spiritual aspects of them, you understand how they affect Israel, you understand how they affect the church. The church can't be not keeping these and then call themselves and say that they belong to the Most High. They do that, and the Most High says, okay. But as they learn, they ought to do better. And Israel is jealous of them because they say, hey, they don't even keep the statutes, laws, and commandments of the Most High. But they say they know him. He's our Elohim. He's our God. He says, yeah. But I use them to make you jealous. So everything is written. It's all right here. All we got to do is believe it. Keep his feast days. They are coming up starting in April. If you haven't had time this year to plan, to keep them, honor them the best way you can and make sure that you incorporate into your life a way to keep them from this point on. We are not in our own country. So there is a way for you to observe and for you to keep. Our holidays are not national holidays for the world. The world keeps the holidays they want to keep, and they're national holidays. Whatever this country wants is a national holiday. It is a national holiday, and they take off. They're not the same days that you and I are supposed to take. So you have to make an effort to observe these, whether you are Jew or Gentile. You have to make an effort to observe these. That means you got to plan it out. You got to know when they are. You got to request vacation for those time periods, so that you can honor the Most High. Got to stop keeping the feast days of the world. Because trust me, they are holidays, holy days to some other deity. And the Most High don't like, he says, he don't share his glory with anyone. So if the world has tied him to a pagan holiday, because they say they're honoring him, you can't do that. You can't honor him that way because they have tied him to another deity. May the Most High bless you. May he keep you safe from all hurt and harm, seen and unseen. And remember, I love you. I really do. And I can't love you like the Most High loves you. Love him in return. Keep his statutes, his laws, and his commandments, and his judgments. Obey his voice. Keep his feast days and celebrate and tell us when he's going to do things, what he has already done and what he's going to do. That's how we know what to look forward to. Happy Sabbath, and may Yah bless you. Shalom, family.
Always said, teach me the way. Pray that I never fall.